care, and managed a movie theater to support the family and their small farm. King had an idyllic small-town childhood, but also dreamed of someday leaving rural Arkansas for Hollywood. At Arkansas State University, he studied radio and television, encouraged by a great uncle who'd been one of the first TV weathermen in Arkansas. During the summers, King was the drummer of the house band at Dog Patch USA, an amusement park in the Ozarks featuring Lil Abner and other characters created by the cartoonist Al Capp. The house band played for hours every night, mainly Dixieland jazz, soft rock like Joy to the World, and show tunes like Sunrise, Sunset from Fiddler on the Roof. Working at Dog Patch was a lot of fun, and King got a full-time job there after college. He fell for Judy Clark, a tap dancer at the park, and the two soon got married. Backed by a brother-in-law, King started looking for a good place in Arkansas to open a new radio station. Clinton, they decided, was the place. It was the county seat of Van Buren County in the foothills of the Ozarks, with a population of about 1,600 and a downtown that attracted shoppers from throughout the area. In 1977, KGFL went on the air as a 250-watt sunset station, licensed to broadcast only during daylight hours. King wanted the station to assume the role that a small-town newspaper would have played a generation earlier. KGFL started each day with the national anthem. It played gospel music for about half an hour, then switched to country and western. During the morning, it broadcast phone-in shows like Trading Post, a radio flea market that allowed local callers to buy and sell things. In the afternoon, when kids got out of school, the station began to play rock and roll, and that's what it played until going off the air at dusk. King's wife opened a dance studio near the station, teaching jazz, tap, and ballet to children. Her studio was on the second floor of the only two-story building in downtown Clinton. Sid King and Tom Phillips were about the same age. They'd met at Dog Patch, where Phillips had played Lil Abner, and they were already familiar with the Titan II site in Damascus. KGFL had covered an accident there a couple of years earlier. At about 3 in the morning on January 27, 1978, an oxidizer trailer parked on the hard stand had started to leak. The trailer was heated to ensure that the oxidizer remained above 42 degrees during the winter. But the thermostat was broken. Instead of keeping the oxidizer at about 60 degrees, the heater pushed it to more than 100 degrees, far beyond its boiling point. A brown plume of oxidizer floated from the trailer, eventually becoming a cloud half a mile long and 100 yards wide. The crew in the underground control center had no idea that the trailer topside was leaking oxidizer. The leak was discovered about 5 hours later by the missile crew arriving at the site to pull an alert that morning. The crew spotted the cloud of oxidizer from the road, turned around, drove back to Damascus, and called the command post from a payphone. A PTS team with REFCO suits was flown by helicopter to launch Complex 374-7. They fixed the leak and lowered the temperature of the oxidizer by spraying the trailer with cold water for hours. The missile site's neighbors were not pleased by the incident. A cloud of oxidizer had drifted across nearby farms, killing more than a dozen cattle, sickening a farmer who'd gotten up early to milk his cows, and forcing the evacuation of a local elementary school. The farmer later filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against the Air Force and the companies that made the trailer. Gus Anglin, the sheriff of Van Buren County, was standing with a state trooper on the shoulder of Highway 65 near the access road to the silo when King and Phillips rolled up in a live ear. Anglin was in his early 40s, thin and wiry, the sort of rural sheriff who knew the names of all the teenagers in town, knew their parents, and knew the right threat to make kids slow down, go home, or stop doing what they were just doing. Van Buren County didn't have much crime, aside from petty theft, some pot growing, and the occasional domestic dispute. And yet Anglin still found himself constantly answering the phone in the middle of the night and leaving his house to deal with all kinds of unexpected things. He wore a badge and drove a squad car, but didn't carry a gun, unless the situation seemed to demand one. He and a couple of deputies had to cover thousands of square miles in the county, which took him away from his wife and two children for long stretches of time. Anglin felt obligated to answer every call personally, from the minor ones to the most urgent. That was what the Van Buren County Sheriff was supposed to do, a lesson learned from his father-in-law, who'd previously held the job and hired him to serve as a deputy. During the early morning leak in 1978, Anglin had evacuated Damascus residents who lived in the path of the oxidizer. The experience had left him frustrated with the Air Force. At first, the Air Force didn't know what was happening. And then, it didn't want to tell him. Again and again, he was assured that the reddish-brown cloud posed no serious threat. He and one of his deputies inhaled a fair amount of oxidizer while escorting people out of their homes. It made both of them sick. After Anglin got the dry heaves and vomited in the road, the two were airlifted by helicopter to the hospital at Little Rock Air Force Base. They were given a clean bill of health and released within a few hours. But Anglin got headaches and didn't feel right for weeks. Now a column of what looked like white smoke rose into the sky from the same missile complex. Once again, nobody from the Air Force had bothered to give him a call. King said hello to the sheriff and the state trooper. "Let's go down there and see what's going on," Anglin suggested. The four men walked down the access road, wondering what was wrong this time as the evening light grew dim. They reached the perimeter fence and stopped for a second. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a couple of Air Force security officers appeared with M-16 rifles and asked what they were doing there. "I'm the sheriff of the county," Anglin said, "and it looks like you've got another problem. We're just trying to figure out what we need to do. Do we need to evacuate people?" "No, no. We've got everything under control," one of the security officers replied. The command post at Little Rock was on top of the situation. Anglin and the state trooper turned around and started walking back toward the highway. The sheriff did not look pleased. King started firing questions at the security officers. "What exactly is the problem? Is that smoke? Is there a fire?" One of the officers was about to answer, then asked King and Phillips if they worked for the sheriff.